verses 1 to 7 and Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6, which can be found on pages 635 and 636 of the Church Bibles. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 7 and Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6, pages 635 and 636. Prologue, purpose and theme. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 2. Moral beliefs of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please keep your Bibles open. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Proverbs. And as we launch into this book today, Father, please would you teach us. And would you give us a passion, a love for wisdom and the desire to pursue it. Amen. Well, like I say, we're starting today a brief sort of summer series looking at some of Proverbs, a wonderful book of the Bible. And it is a book which is all about wisdom. Wisdom is something that the book of Proverbs, which God tells us, is something that we should longed for, desire, that we should give anything and everything to have. Just have a flick over a page to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, so page 638. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Now that is a big statement, isn't it? That is saying, if you can have one thing, get wisdom. If someone were to offer you millions of pounds, were to say, I will pay off your mortgage, I will pay off all your credit card debts, I will give you any car that you choose, I will pay all your holiday money expenses that you want, and give you millions of pounds as well, or I'll give you wisdom, which would you choose? Well, the Bible says, God tells us, get wisdom. Wisdom is the thing to go for. There's no choice there. Go for wisdom. And as Christians, that's what we should think as well. But what is wisdom? What is it? If you look on the internet, well, there's a classic sort of definition of the distinction between wisdom and knowledge, which is this, which you may have heard before. Knowledge is knowing whether a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. But is that what wisdom is? Maybe you think, when you think of wisdom, you might think of something else. You might think of, if you think of a wise person, my mind goes to, it's a picture, I'm not sure which of our children's books it is. It's this sort of sage, this old wise person sitting on a hill, and his beard is so long, it wraps around the hill many, many, many times. You go, well, there is a kind of wise person. Or maybe you think of someone who, they come out with deep things. They come out with profound things. Things maybe so profound that you don't really understand what they're saying. And people can think, well, yes, they sound deep. I don't really understand it, so it must be wise. Have you ever really think of a wise person? Or maybe you think of someone who just generally comes out with clever things. And things where everyone will go, yeah, that person, they're a wise person. They just seem to know. Well, the good thing is that Proverbs helps us to understand not just that we should look for wisdom, but also helps us understand what wisdom is. It says, verse 2, that these proverbs are for attaining, for attaining wisdom and discipline. You want wisdom? Comes from the book of Proverbs, and it comes the whole Bible. So we're going to think about four things in relation to wisdom. We're going to think about what is wisdom, the first step into wisdom, the foolishness of wisdom, and how to get wisdom. So first thing, what is wisdom? Well, it's knowledge. There is knowledge involved. Have a look at verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So knowledge is in there. We need what knowledge in order to be wise. But wisdom is kind of more than just knowledge. It's not just knowing about things. Morality is involved. So look back at verse 3. It says, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. So you've got to have knowledge, but there's also morality in there. Doing the right thing is being wise. But it's kind of more than morality as well. Because sometimes in the book of Proverbs it tells you to do one thing and then it will tell you to do the opposite thing. So there's a classic example of this. Proverbs chapter 26 verses 4 and 5. I'll put them on the screen. These come straight one after the other, these Proverbs, and they say this. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. And then the next verse is, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So which do you do? Do you not answer a fool according to his folly, or do you answer a fool according to his folly? Because then you've got Proverbs which say one says one says the other. Which do you do? And the answer is, well, that's a wisdom call. Sometimes it's right to do one, sometimes it's right to do the other. And you've got to know which is which. So you see, it's not a right or wrong, it's a wisdom call. It's a judgment call. Wisdom, yes, it's about knowledge, yes, it's about right and wrong, but it's more than that. It's kind of, well, it's, as someone I heard said, this is the problem preparing a sermon 2 weeks ago. I can't remember where the quotes come from, but there you go, I should have written it down. But someone said, wisdom, according to Proverbs, is knowing how to live life in the real world. So there's right and wrong, there's knowledge, but it's more than that. It's just knowing how to live, how to be in the world. It's being in touch with reality. And there are loads of decisions for which we need wisdom. Hundreds of decisions. Which job should you go for? Should you change career? Should you... what should you do with family? How should you bring up your children? Which school should they go to? What should you do in retirement? Should you move? Should you stay where you are? There are a whole load of things that we do, but they're not really right or wrong. They're kind of wisdom. They're about the complexity of life. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how to live life in the real world. Second, the first step into wisdom. It's a repeated thing throughout Proverbs. Verse 7 tells us the first step into wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The beginning, the very first step into wisdom is fearing the Lord. That's what Proverbs tells us. But what is fear of the Lord? We need to recognize that there are two kinds of fear. There's negative fear and there's positive fear. Negative fear is a fear which is a kind of terror. It's a terrified that the person in front of you is going to do you harm, and it's out of control, and you don't know how to treat them. There's a kind of terror there. That's a negative fear. A positive fear is it's an awe, it's a respect. This last week we were in Ilfracombe, and you see the sea beautifully in front of you. Every day you see the sea, it's lovely. And yet, you should have a right kind of fear for the sea, shouldn't you? A right respect of it. Because it's not the same as the land. I know that's blindly the obvious, but it's not. If you look to the land, and you look at the horizon, you look way up in the distance, you think, if you planted me way up in the horizon on land, I would be all right. I'd be okay. But if I look out to sea, and if you planted me in the sea as far as I could see, and I would die, that would be it. I wouldn't know. I'm not that great a swimmer. So you've got to have that kind of awe, that respect for the sea. So too with God. The beginning of wisdom is to be in awe of God, to fear God. And we haven't begun to be wise without it. We haven't taken the first step without fearing God. We did this a few years back. I think with our children, they're better now at this, but when it came to packing for going on holiday a few years back, I think we said to them, take your little suitcase, go and put in it what you think you need, you know, the things you're going to need for a holiday, going away for a few weeks, but put in what you need. And it's always funny to do this again with really little children to see what they'll put in. You go home and open up their case after they've had it, they say, you know, it takes them about 30 seconds. So, yeah, done, ready. Good, ready? Yeah. Got everything you need? Yeah. Okay, let's have a look. Let's see where you put it. And you find it's stuffed with cuddly toys, three Tom Trumps cards, and a skewer. You go, really? Is that really all you need? Yeah, I'm fine with that. So, you haven't got a clue. They don't know what they need. They don't recognise that they need clothes, and they need things for brushing their teeth, and things like that. You see, they haven't really got a clue about what they need. And actually, the Bible says we haven't got a clue about life until we first realise the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. Now, what does that say about non-Christians, non-Christian medics and non-Christian counsellors? Do we say, well, they've got no wisdom whatsoever, we've got nothing we can learn from them? No, that's not the case. Of course, there's lots that we can learn from non-Christian doctors and counsellors and lots of areas, scientists, and, you know, there's lots that we can learn. But what we need to recognise is that they have what some have called a borrowed wisdom. It is a borrowed wisdom. Because they're living in God's world, and they're noticing connections in God's world, maybe. So they notice that in medicine, this cures that, or, you know, in counselling, that this technique will help with that anxiety, or whatever it may be. But it is a borrowed wisdom, because it is the way God has created this world. It is the way He has put things in place. And they may have noticed the connection, that there is a fundamental flaw to their wisdom, which is that they haven't recognized the fear of the Lord, that this is the Lord's world. See, it is as if your life, the canvas of your life, is being painted. And in becoming a Christian is not that you draw or paint another sort of little bit in the corner of your life. It is rather that you recognize that you're not the painter, but that God is. And you live in His canvas. You live in His world, and that is the beginning of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in the Bible talks about fools. Now, what's a fool? A fool is not someone who just lacks intelligence. Yeah, that may be a contributing factor. But actually, the definition of a fool in the Bible is one who lives in God's world as if there is no God. That is foolishness. And therefore, now this is a big subject. This saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and therefore the beginning of wisdom. You've got to say, well, that then should shape the way we make those decisions. You know, the 80% of the decisions that you make, just make that stat up, which are not right, wrong decisions. You know, all those sort of wisdom calls. It should shape how we go about making those decisions. what decision we make and how we deal with the results of it. Let me give you an example of this. Ollie, Starling Secondary School, our elders at Starling Secondary School. And when it came to the choices for which schools to put on the list, we put them in order. And Ollie didn't get the first choice, but the second choice, which was Southbrook School. And I was talking with Bev's dad, who has preached here before, and I was thinking about this, and I said to him, so Ollie goes Southbrook School, but it wasn't our first choice. For which he said that it was God's first choice. Yeah, okay, that's wisdom. That is saying we live in God's world. He is in control. And therefore, we may have things in this life where we go, okay, that wasn't my top choice. That's not the place where I really wanted to go. That's not, this isn't the life I really wanted. This isn't where God says, but I am in control. And therefore, we live in my world. And that's the beginning of wisdom. And we have nothing against Southbrook School. It's a good school. But it just wasn't the one that we put first. So, the beginning of wisdom, the first step into wisdom is fearing the Lord. Point three. The foolishness of wisdom. Now, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, therefore, you can see that this will then bring about that there can be worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And the Bible has that distinction, that there can be things which the world says, yeah, that's wisdom. When actually the Bible says, that's not wisdom. There can be worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And we need to be able to distinguish between the two. This is clear to us in 1 Corinthians. Would you just turn to that one? So keep your hand in Proverbs 1, and then turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And this is talking about the cross. And saying that the cross is an exact example of this, where you say, well, there's worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. See what it says about the cross. So starting at verse 22, page 1145. Page 1145. It says this: Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So there you see, the cross looks to mankind as foolishness, looks ridiculous, but yet God says, that is not just me being a little bit funny, that is my wisdom. That is a wisdom which is far greater than the world's wisdom. The world will never understand it. It is a wisdom beyond the wisdom of this world. The world will think it foolish. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised that following Christ, there will be times where we do things, say things, where the world will say, that is foolish. And we say, no, that is the wisdom of God. And there will come those moments in our lives. There will be things that we will need to do where we say, actually, the world won't understand this. The world will think it's foolish. But there could be things even where the Bible says, do this, where you go, well, actually, even I think that looks a bit foolish. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It's a proverb we keep coming back to with so much application to it. It's a wonderful proverb. Up on the screen there, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So do you see the contrast in that verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In other words, there will be times where you go, well, there's the thing that my understanding says I should do, and then there's what God says I should do. And therefore, at that point, we've got a sort of decision to say, okay, which way are we going to go? The way my understanding says, or the way God says? And the wise thing, of course, is to say, I'll go God's way. But that is an interesting point. It's not just that the world will say that's a foolish thing to do. Sometimes you will think it's a foolish thing to do. And yet, God makes all the difference. And yet God makes all the difference. So making that decision a wise decision. See, there are some things, some decisions, some things we will choose where you go, but the only thing that makes that wise is the fact that God has made a promise or God is present. That's the only thing that makes that wise. For instance, Peter in the boat when Jesus is walking on water. And Jesus, in walking on water, comes towards the boat and Jesus tells Peter to climb out of the boat and walk on the water. Now, there's a decision Peter's got to make. His own understanding would say, that's a stupid thing to do. I'm not going to do that. He knows, he tried to walk on water. It's not going to work. You're going to sink. But yet, the presence of Jesus there makes it a wise call. Doesn't it? It makes it absolutely the wise thing to do. Any other circumstances, getting out of a boat trying to walk on the water is a foolish thing to do. But because Jesus is there, you say, no, that is a wise thing to do. I mean, it would be foolish to stay in the boat. Get out of the boat, walk on that water. Giving your life to Jesus. Wise move, foolish move. Well, obviously, if Jesus isn't God, it's a very, very foolish move to make. But if Jesus is God, it is the very wisest thing you could do. It would be foolish not to give your life to Jesus. Launching our afternoon service in Anglia at 4. Wise move, foolish move. Well, if God isn't there, it's a foolish move. Maybe somebody's coming to church on Sunday morning. I mean, that would be foolish as well. But with God, and God's promised to be with us, as we seek to reach out to more people with the good news of Jesus, with God's presence, it's a wise move. But the only thing that makes it wise is God. So be aware, be prepared to look like a fool. Because the world doesn't recognize godly wisdom all the time. Yes, there's plenty in the book of Proverbs where you go, oh yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are other things where you say, gee, that's one that the world won't get. So, the foolishness of wisdom. And last one. How to get wisdom.
How do we get it?
Well, the good news is, you can get it. Please turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. And verses 1 to 6, page 636. Now, did you notice, as Hannah read it for us, what we're being commanded to do here, what we're being urged to do, which is to pursue wisdom. Let me just read some of those verses again. So it says, chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see that? It's a wonderful picture of it. It's that searching for treasure. It's the, it's not quite pirates searching for treasure, but it is that. So imagine you've got that map, and you're on that desert island. You've got the map, X marks the spot, and you know there is treasure there. And you say, I'm going to go after that treasure. I'm going to do the 15 steps from the big tree, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to pursue, and if it's not there, I'm going to go on to the next. I'm not just going to give up. I'm going to pursue that treasure. And the Bible says, pursue wisdom. Don't give up on it. Pursue it. It's like dogs. Have you ever seen dog races? I've never been there live for it, but there was a dog tracking home at the end of our road. If you've ever seen it on TV or whatever, you know, they have that sort of bunny rabbit thing that whizzes around the track. And the dogs pursue it. They're just going after that thing. Their eyes are set, and they are sprinting flat out to get it. This is saying, be like that, but not after a bunny. Go for wisdom. Pursue it. Long for it. Go far out for it. Now, interesting. The Bible says, contrary to what we tend to think about wisdom, wisdom is not something you're born with. It's not something that you can make. You don't just get it. So Proverbs 22 verse 15 on the screen says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. So now, okay, we get into family and that kind of thing, but later on in the summer. But just notice the beginning part of that. That same folly is bound up in the heart of the child. So all of us, we start life as fools. We start life saying, well, there isn't. No, God, let's say there isn't one. So we don't start off wise. But, as we've seen in Proverbs chapter 2, we can pursue it. Now, that is great news for you, isn't it? Because that means any of us can pursue wisdom, can grow in wisdom. It's not something where you go, oh, that person's just wise, and that person just isn't. You can get it. It's good. Okay, three things. And none of them are going to surprise you, I don't think. First is, why? Clearly, Proverbs is saying, if you want wisdom, read the book of Proverbs. Absorb it. Get into it. But not just the book of Proverbs, the whole Bible. Read it. Do your daily quiet times. And read the Bible. Get it bit by bit. Get it into you. So that when it comes to making decisions, what comes out, what comes in your thinking, is what's in the Bible. But that's not just an instant thing. You can say, right, I just read the Bible. Right now I'm wise. This is a lifelong pursuit of, I'm going to get stuck into this day by day. And the result will be, it's a bit like the difference between at York University, Ben and I were both at York University and studied psychology there. And what you could do, one of us could have gone to one of our professors there and said, would you write a paper on child development? And they would have been able to do that. But if we've read all of their work and read up everything that they've written and really absorbed it and soaked it in, we probably then could have written the paper ourselves. In their sort of style. It's true in any discipline, isn't it? If you really get to know someone, really absorb their work, if you've got an author you love reading, or a director you love seeing their films, you start to think in the way that they think, and you start to do, you know how they are. So you could do it yourself. And the Bible is saying, absorb the Bible so much that as you've got decisions to make, biblical things come. And you go, yeah, I. There's this truth that we must hold on to as we make this decision. So Bible. Talking to others, counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this: the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Now that doesn't mean that you go along with everything that other people say, because people will give you different bits of advice. But it does say you listen to people, and we get counsel from others. Now, this is something we tend not to be that good at doing, because we tend to think, to be wise, I should be the person who should know the answer. I should be independent. I should be able to make decisions on my own. But actually, that verse says, that's the way of the fool. The way of the wise is to ask, to talk to others, and say, look, I'm trying to make this decision about this. What do you think? What principles do you think I should be applying? See, we should use one another. God's given us one another to talk to about things. So counsel. We'll talk to others. And prayer. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So God's promise there is, you ask for wisdom and you'll get it. Which is great, isn't it? You ask for wisdom, you get it, God's promises. So there's three things. Bible, talk to others, and pray. When we pursue those things, you see, these are essential when it comes to making those decisions, those wisdom calls. There can be a lot of talk in Christian circles about guidance. We want to know about guidance. So if you said, I'm going to do a sermon on guidance, it would be great. A long life will never have God guides us. But the reality is, in the Bible, God talks more about wisdom than about guidance. Yes, God does talk about guidance, and it is important we ask God to guide us. But actually, what God says is, gain wisdom. Now, the difficulty there is, we're quite an instant culture, aren't we? We like things now. We want on demand. We want, we don't even want to have to go out for a video to watch a video. We want it just there, right now. We want things instantly. And so we say, well, I'd rather guidance, if that would be all right, because that's here and now, so I can say, God, guide me, and then here's the answer, there you go. But actually, God said, no, this is a long-term pursuit, wisdom. It's not an instant fix, it's a long-term thing. You've got to keep going at it. Kevin DeYoung is brilliant, but Just Do Something, which if you haven't read, if you haven't got a copy, do come and ask me for a copy. I've got one spare copy at the back that I can give to you. It is a brilliant book on guidance. And he has a great chapter in here on wisdom. It is a really helpful book. And in it he says, God doesn't tell us the future, nor does he expect us to work it out. Rather, he tells us to trust him and be wise. Yes, he does say, there are times where God does guide in specific ways. But generally, the vast majority of the time, it is a case of us needing to grow in wisdom. And therefore, we need to say, the time to start pursuing wisdom is now. Maybe you're already doing it. Keep at it. Let's pursue wisdom. Let's be like that pirate seeking the treasure. Let's be like those gods chasing the money. Let's go after wisdom with all we've got. Because the Bible tells us that's what we're to do. We need to have a dogged pursuit of reading God's word, praying, and talking to other Christians. So on holiday, if you've not yet been, what are you going to take with you? Are you going to read your Bible? Which bit are you going to read? You're going to take your Bible reading notes with you. Make sure you do. Don't make it a holiday away from God. Because you can't do that. He's with you wherever you are. You're in his world. Take your Bible with you. Which bits are you going to read? If you've come back from holiday, what are you going to get into? If you've stopped, maybe some people say, I'm going through a dry spell at the moment, so I've stopped reading my Bible. Just be aware. That's a bit like saying, I'm going through a thirsty patch now, so I've decided not to drink. It's not going to help you in the end. We need to get back into the Word of God. So if you're feeling this is hard work and it's a struggle, yes, it may be, but keep at it. Keep going back to God's Word. Keep reading it and pursue wisdom. Be asking God for it. That's the challenge from this. From these verses at the beginning of Proverbs, is to say, will you and I, will we make it a lifelong pursuit? And it is a lifelong pursuit. Just flip back to chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, verse 5, interestingly, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. One of the biggest dangers we have is if we think we've arrived. We think we've got it. We think, yeah, okay, I've grown in wisdom. It says, well, maybe you have, and that's right. But you've got to keep pursuing. Keep pursuing wisdom. Give it all you've got. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that in it there is wisdom. And Father, we pray, please, that you would help us to pursue wisdom, to read your word, to pray, to seek the counsel of others. Father, please give us a dogged determination to go after wisdom with all we've got. Father, for those who are flagging and reading their Bibles, Father, please give us extra energy and zeal and love for your word. Help us to renew our passion for getting into your word day by day and week by week and pursuing and longing for wisdom. Please would you give it to us. You promise you will, Father. So please would you give us wisdom.